This is Sunday morning, September the 26th, and we're going to turn to Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading here at verse 11. Chapter 4 of Mark, verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. That's just a powerful statement to me. Unto me it is given to know. Well, now, that, as a baby Christian, when I first read this scripture for the first time, and I realized the Lord is talking to me personally, it's given to me to know. So if something's been given to me, then it's my responsibility to what? Take it. You know, you can give somebody a gift, and then they might say, no, that's all right, I've got one of those, I don't need it, or I'd rather not use it. But a gift is supposed to be taken and used. And Jesus said, this is a gift of knowing. This is a knowing gift. And so it's given to give. It's given to you so you can know. And it's about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which is the same thing. And he said, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to share a little bit about the mystery of the kingdom. This message, the content of this message, the theme of this is so vast that it would take days and days and years maybe to even cover. But so I'm just going to be scratching the surface. And I want you just, if you can make notes, it's a great time to make notes, because this message is a timely message. And it's been preached many, many times. But until you get it down deep into your heart and it becomes a reality to you, it changes everything once this happens. Once you get a revelation of what the mystery of the kingdom is and how it's given unto you to know this mystery, these mysteries. But he says, but unto you it's with them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, it sounds like the Lord is saying, oh, we just really are selective here. We don't want everybody to see, and we don't want everybody to hear, because, you know, once they hear and once they see, they're going to get saved. They'll be converted. They'll become new creatures in Christ Jesus. So, you know, let's not make sure everybody knows. But that's not at all the connotation here. What he really is saying, the Lord wants everyone to see. He wants everyone to know. But the ones who have received it are the ones it's been given to. In other words, if you are one of those that are chosen, because you chose to be chosen, you said many are called, but few are chosen. And it makes you feel like God is out picking, okay, I'll choose you, okay, I'll pick you. Kind of like in a classroom setting where he's pointing fingers, okay, you and you and you, come up here. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the ones who have chosen to be chosen, who are willing to be willing. Willing to be willing is a big difference than just saying, you're going to do this, by golly. You've got to be the one who says, I want to do this. You've got to be the chosen. Everyone, whosoever will, it's a for whosoever will salvation. But it's the ones who will hear and the ones who will believe are the ones who will be converted. It's the ones that hear, the ones that see, and it's been given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So it's not like God is just picking and choosing who he wants, even though sometimes people preach that way or minister it this way. But what he's saying, he said, if you will hear and you can understand, you will be converted. You will be converted. That's exactly what he said in verse 12. But some will not see and some will not hear, therefore they will not be converted. That's sad. That's just really sad. I've preached to many people and talked and witnessed to many people, and it's like they just kind of don't even hear it. It goes over their head. Look at verse 13. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, know you not this parable? Now, this parable he's talking about is the parable of the sower. The sower sows the seed. The sower goes out to sow. But he says, don't you know this parable? Then how then will you know all parables? In other words, if you can understand this parable, this is a powerful statement. If you can know this parable and you can understand this parable, because it's given to you to know it, then you can know all parables. There won't be any parable that you will not be able to understand if you can get a hold of the revelation of this parable. That's why this is such an important parable to understand and apply it into our lives, because once we get a revelation of this parable is the parable that will give revelation to all parables. I mean, this is a doorway parable here to understanding. But you've got to get this. You've got to understand that this has been given to you to know and to understand. And if you don't understand this one, how are you going to know any of them? But if you do know this one, you'll know all of them. You all have got that? Isn't that good? So look what he says in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Now, if I was to walk into any classroom in America or anywhere in the world and say, hey, the sower soweth the word, they would look at you and they would say, what are you talking about? Word? What is word? Well, word, if you have a revelation of this, you know exactly what word is. Word. And now I want to take us, we're going to stop here and we're going to move to Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to bring it closer to us, probably maybe than you've ever heard it before, about what he's talking about. A sower sows something. A sower, a person who sows. I think I'm a sower. Y'all think you're a sower? I know I'm a sower. I sow all the time. I don't mean sew clothes, but I sow. I sow and I sow and I sow. I sow mercy. I sow love. I sow kindness. I sow gentleness. I sow comfort. I sow myself, my time. I sow my money. I sow my shoes. Need a pair of shoes? Here you go. Whatever I have in my hands, I sow. Because I know the parable. I have understanding of the parable. And it's a powerful thing to know how to sow. And to sow properly. Because guess what sowers know? Sowers know a secret that most people do not know. Sowers know that may not be tomorrow, may not be next week, may not be next month, but there will be a harvest for every seed you sow. Always a harvest. Because this is just the way this parable works. This is the secret. This is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And if you can get this, you'll get every other parable and every other mystery down pat. So look at this with me in chapter 1 of Genesis. In verse, starting with verse 1, this, of course, Genesis means the book of beginnings. Genesis is the beginning book. And in the beginning, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth. Nobody disputes that God created the heaven and the earth, unless you're agnostic or atheist. Most people believe somebody created this universe. God created this earth, and he created the heaven. He's the master builder of all builders. And the earth, verse 2, was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, verse 3, now God starts sowing. God is starting to sow. He's got things laid out to where he can sow now. And he said, let there be light. What did God do? He sowed light. He said, let there be light. But he had to say it. Let there be light. And guess what? Because God's words are like God. God is all power. God is all knowing. God is awesome God. So therefore, anything comes out of God is just like him. He's an eternal God. His nature is eternity. His nature is love. Everything that comes out of God is just exactly like him in every way. So when God says something, it's like a part of him goes out of him. So he's sowing a part of himself when he speaks. So when God said, let there be light, because God's all powerful, everything he says happens. It happens. So let there be light. Well, there couldn't be anything but light happen because God sowed his word into this universe, into the earth. Let there be light. And then verse 4 says, God saw the light and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, always remember, light will never be darkness, and darkness will never be light. There is division between light and dark. God set that right there. There will always be dark, and there will always be light. So they're not the same. And this is where he divided the light and the day. Then you go on down to verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament. And it was so. He's talking about the waters in the heavens and the waters on the earth. Two waters. He separated those waters. And then he said in verse 3, God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9, and God said, see, God's still sowing. He's still sowing. And he said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Everything God says will be so. Just mark it down. If God said it, it's going to be so, whatever he said, because he's the sower. He's the master sower. Verse 10, and God's called the dry land earth, and gathered, and the gathering together of the waters, he called the seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, this is the most powerful thing, if we can get a hold of this revelation. When God said this, let the earth bring forth. Now stop right there. Let the earth bring forth. It's like if I'm God and I'm speaking to the earth, I'm looking at this ball that's spinning around in space, and I'm saying, earth, bring forth. God told the earth to do something. The earth was given an assignment. The earth was given an assignment by Almighty God. Earth, I command you to bring forth. That's exactly what he said. And he said, and this is what I command you to bring forth. I command you to bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now, verse 11 in the Amplified says this. God said, let the earth put forth tender vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit, trees yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself, each according to its kind upon the earth. And it was so. This is where everything began. When it comes to sowing and reaping, here's where it started, right here. And every seed will be, have its own DNA, have its own blueprint within itself, and it will be after its own kind, according to its kind. Whatever kind of seed it is, it's going to have in its seed, within itself, a blueprint of its own self, in itself. And it's going to have a DNA structure that will always be a part of itself. And when you sow it, it's going to bring forth. Because God commanded it to bring forth. Bringing forth. When you learn this, then you can become a sower that can bring forth also. Verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed. I'm not surprised. If God said it, God set this in motion, and he gave the earth an assignment. You're going to bring forth, earth. I created you to be something that can be sown into, and I'm creating seed that's going to go into the earth, and the earth is going to bring forth. It's not going to be unfruitful. It's going to be fruitful. This earth was meant to be fruitful. You and I were meant to be fruitful. And every seed you sow is going to have its own DNA within itself. It's going to be a seed that's going to be like itself when it comes out. Corn will never produce beans. Beans will never produce watermelon. If you want a watermelon, you better plant a watermelon seed, because the DNA and of its own self is the nature of that watermelon. Everything about it is in that seed. Everything about it is in that seed. And you could lay that seed. I've got some bean seeds here that I have had for years. I'm going to give you a few. I want someone to look at these. I want you to realize that even though they might close your eyes and you can feel them and they look the same. They look the same, maybe. Actually, those are some kidney bean seeds, I think, or But I did have some rocks in there. Here's a rock.
I have a rock girl.
Here's a rock.
I can't grow a rock.
Well, there's a reason you can't grow a rock, Walter. There's a reason for it. Now, if I give everybody a little bit of this corn, I'm telling you, this stuff will lay here in this bag. This is already, you can keep them. Oh, yeah, keep them with you. This corn could sit in this bag for 5 years. And it won't bring forth anything. Well, because the earth has an assignment. And it's been told to bring forth. But the seed also has been given an assignment. It has been given within itself the ability to reproduce after its own self. You're never going to get, you know, whatever it is to the result you want to get. You've got to sow that type of thing, whatever it is that you want to get. In other words, if you want a quarter horse, you're going to mate a quarter horse to a quarter horse. If whatever it is within itself, God set this up in the beginning. This is the beginning. And even though it's been thousands of years, it's still assigned and it's still set up this way. And Jesus said, if you can understand the parable of the sower and you have understanding of this and you got a revelation of this, you're going to be able to understand all parables and all the mysteries of the kingdom. So he says to this next verse, he says, and the earth brought forth grass, I'm not surprised, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. Everything has a nature. Everything. And after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now let's go to St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1 has something pretty profound in it. And I've looked at this verse, and I've looked at this verse so many different ways. But it's a beginning word. It's another Genesis word. New Testament beginning. New World Order beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by Him, and without all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now I want to go back to this verse, in the beginning verse, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now he's established here that Jesus is the Word of God. But remember the verse in chapter 1 of Genesis where he said that this fruit, the seed, would have its own, be birthed and be developed and come forth of its own kind? That it was within itself, that it had its own DNA within itself, and it would bring forth of its own self, of its own kind, but it had it within itself. So what Jesus is, he is God, he is light, and that light in him was life. Verse 4, in him. This is Jesus' DNA. In him. Jesus' seed. Jesus was the seed that God planted into the human race to bring forth a generation of people that would bring him praise, who would also be full of life, and also be full of life, who would also be like him and would be produced after his own kind, after him. Do you see this? Because in him was life. Jesus' DNA as a seed was life. And do you know what that word life right there is? It's Zoe. It's eternal life. It's not just the fact that you're alive. It's life. Forever. Eternity. So in Jesus, within Jesus himself, was light. He was life, and the life was the light of men. I want you to think about Jesus as a seed. As you've got those seeds in your hand, I want you to see that God had to get his word in this earth. And he did it the only way he could possibly have done it, and it was through himself. Because God is the word of God. Because God said, God said, God said. God's word is always going to produce. And God had to absolutely get his word into this earth. And therefore, he had to birth himself through the seed of a man to bring forth his word into the earth. Now, let's take a look at some things. I want to show you some things about Adam. Adam was created from the dirt of the earth. Jesus was conceived of the womb of a woman. But the seed that impregnated Mary was God's Holy Spirit. The seed of God impregnated a woman. And so this man-child that was birthed, was born of a woman, conceived of the Holy Spirit, had God's DNA marking after his own kind within himself. There was never another God-man ever created until God planted himself into a woman and birthed an incarnation of himself as a man. Never before. Because Adam was a created being just like a cow or a dog or anything. But Jesus was his first begotten son, born of a woman, half God, half man, all just as much God, because in him was the DNA of his Father, Almighty God. And that eternal life of God is God's nature. Glory to God. I begin to get a revelation here. Y'all seeing it? You got to get this by revelation. This can't come by any other thing but a revelation. It's got to come by revelation of the Holy Spirit. You've got to see that the power of the Word of God planted in a woman. And that's why he was called the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in 1 John. And we beheld him. We've handled him. We've looked at him. We've talked to him. He was the Word of God. And he could only produce after his own kind. And his nature was in him to do everything he did. All you got to do is read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see the nature of God producing in Jesus. Everything Jesus did was God after his own kind. I'm telling you, an apple is always going to be an apple. An apple is always going to have apple seed. Apples taste a lot alike. Whatever flavor or kind you find, apples are apples. Peaches are peaches. Jesus was Almighty God, reflection of his Father in every way. In every form, DNA-wise, just like an apple. Now, that's a very bad example, maybe, but I'm trying to make you see that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I want you to think of the word born as a word bring forth. When a woman gives birth, she's bringing forth. When an animal gives birth, they're bringing forth. They brought forth of a seed that's been planted in a womb. That womb is like the earth, and the earth has got an assignment, and everything in it is going to produce after its own kind. So God said, I'm going to send my son into the earth, and I'm going to plant him into the earth, and he's going to bring forth many sons that are going to have a likeness of himself, the DNA of himself within them, and they will be just like him. They'll be like me, because his seed will prevail. Do y'all see what I'm coming from? The power of this seed If you can understand the sower seed, the sower soweth the word of God. Think of your heart as being ground. Think of your heart as being soil. And you take a seed, and as long as it's laying around, just laying around on the table or in a bag, nothing's going to happen. But there is life, something alive, a miracle happens once it gets planted into the soil. Something miraculous, and it's not a miracle, it's an assignment. God gave the earth an assignment to bring forth. And the seed has an assignment in itself to have life of its own kind. Its DNA, a copy of what its ancestors will be passed on and passed on every single time. God created it to be this way. Now, the Word of God is the same way. When you think of your spirit as soil, and say you need a word, a revelation word, on finances, then you get a word, plant that word on finances in your heart, and it's going to bring forth finances. Get a revelation. You need healing in your body. Get every scripture you can and sow that into your heart and watch it take root. Let it take root, though, and let it grow and let healing begin to produce in you. Everything you sow is going to produce. And even the same thing works with bad. If you sow a bad seed, you're going to get bad results. You sow good seed, you're going to get good results. The Word of God is so powerful that it will create whatever you sow it to create within your own heart. But you know why most people never see fruit? Why most people never see fruit is they kill it before it has a chance to develop and grow. If I take this seed and I put it in a ground right now, if I set it right this minute today on September 26th and I put it in the ground right now and I watered it and I put it in good ground. Now, there's an importance here about being good ground. The ground doesn't need to be sand, doesn't need to be rock. It needs to have some nutrients within itself. But that's what God gave the earth an assignment to do. You're going to bring forth. You are the bringing forth part one. And so you put it in the ground, and it's got to stay there a certain length of time. Some seed needs to be in the ground longer than other seeds. Did you know that? Some seeds can lay in there for a long, long time. Other seeds, you just keep it in there a few weeks, and it starts to sprout. The seed begins to become of itself. What's in it becomes productive and begins to change. Something happens. That thing is released from within itself and begins to produce after its own kind. It's on its journey. It's on its provision. It's on its assignment. It's doing what it's always supposed to do. But if you come along and you start digging it up to check and see if it's working, then it's not going to produce. You've already disturbed the process. If you come along and you said, well, I don't think this is working. I don't think this is working. I don't think this is going to happen. I've sowed the word, but I don't see any results. I don't see anything happening here. Then what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Not one thing is going to be produced in this. Nothing. Nothing. But Jesus is the seed that God planted in the earth so we could have the benefits of all that he has provided through his word, through his burial, his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I'm going to take you to another verse here, and I'm working through these verses quickly. In St. John chapter 12, since we're in St. John's, flip over to chapter 12 and look at verse 24. 12:24, Jesus understood that if you understand this and you know how this operates, this is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven operating right here. Chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. I'm going to read that again. St. John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Die. And this is not just a corn of wheat. It's any seed. This is the way all seeds produce. It won't produce if it doesn't die. Your corn seed As long as it's laying there, it's going to be corn seed looking just like that. But if it dies in the ground, it's going to bring forth. See, that's what the earth was given an assignment to do. So always, always, always know your seed will always bring forth because God said, bring forth. Earth, bring forth. And seed, you're going to produce after your own kind. Jesus, God knowing he put this in motion in the earth, Jesus then became a seed that God planted into the earth. And Jesus said, except a corn of wheat die. It's got to die. It's going to abide alone. Do you know if Jesus hadn't have been crucified, if God hadn't have planted Jesus through death, burial, and resurrection, he would have still been with us today, right now. He would have never died because death was not in him. He didn't have the nature of Adam. He didn't have the sin nature, which was death. See, sin nature is the seed that the devil sowed into the heart of the human being. But Jesus didn't have the nature of Adam. Jesus would still be here today, 2,000 years later, walking around being Jesus, healing everybody. He would have been the king of the world. He would have been made an emperor of the earth. All nations would have been running to him. Well, that's going to happen anyway. But man would have still been full of sin. Man would have still had a nature of the devil. Man would have not had anything to change him because it took death to change us to be like Jesus. He had to sow himself into the earth. This is so rich. And he had to sow, but we had to accept him in our hearts and allow his seed, the revelation of who he is, his word. His word was in God in the earth through his word, through him. Sow that word in your heart, and you're going to believe that he was raised from the dead, and you will be saved. And whatever it is you need to be saved from is now available to you through his word, because it's producing after its own kind. And so Jesus is saying here, he said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's the way everything works. But he was talking about himself. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this cause came I into this hour. Now, when he says, Father, glorify thy name. Do you know that every time an apple tree grows into a big apple tree from a seed that came off of that tree right there and became another beautiful apple tree, you know what that apple tree did? It just glorified the big tree it came from. It just is glorifying. Look where I came from. I came off that tree right over there. Look at me. How beautiful I am. That peach tree, the same thing. It's glorifying the seed it came from, the plant, whatever it was, or the animals, or the animal life, plant life, all human life. We're to glorify, you know, glorifying our parents. When you grow up and you do something productive and you look like your mom or you look like your dad, you're bringing them glory, aren't you? So it's Jesus said, Father, glorify me. I want to glorify you. You make me look just like you. You let many, many sons be born that look just like me. You let my DNA, the word of God, DNA be planted in every heart that'll produce after its own kind, because that's the way it's set up. Now I want to take you to Genesis again, to go back to Genesis. These are revelation things you just have to understand. You have to get a hold of it. You have to receive it. Genesis 8, 22. Start with verse 23. 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart. Here's God talking again. He said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, this is God talking, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Oh, I planted a seed and it didn't come up. I planted a seed and it didn't work. I did what I was supposed to do and it's not working. It's not because God didn't proclaim it. He said, the earth will yield. The earth has an assignment to bring forth. And he said, that will never cease as long as the earth remaineth. As far as I can tell, the earth is still here and it's still going to produce seed after its own, whatever's been sown after its own kind. Now, I'll tell you something about sowing seed. Now, I want to go back to the parable of the sower. Because the parable of the sower begins to talk about, and let's go to Mark again, Mark chapter 4. It's exciting to me because I'm telling you, if you see this, you will just be crazy about sowing. You'll get so excited about sowing because it's always going to produce. It's always going to come forth. It's always going to be whatever it is of its own kind that you sow. I'm telling you, and guess who gets to enjoy the benefits of the harvest? You do. And your family, or your friends, or your church, or whoever you are that is sowing. Amen. Sowing is an exciting adventure. I'm telling you, I've raised so many crops. I was raised on a farm. I've been a farmer's girl all my life. I grew up and was given an acre of land, and I started farming. First thing I wanted to do when I got my land was I wanted to plow it up and get my feet and my toes into that dirt, and I wanted to plant something. I remember planting 100-foot rows of, I planted 4 100-foot rows of corn 1 year. I planted 2 100-foot rows of tomatoes, 4 100-foot rows of potatoes. I planted myself, by myself, because I love to plant. I love to see the results of what I put in that ground. I know it's going to come forth. I know whatever I put in there, I'm going to get a harvest because I've seen it time after time after time. I've done a lot of pickling. I've done a lot of canning, and I've done a lot of picking of things I have sown. It's a lot of work, but I'm telling you, if you're going to get, I promise you, if it's going to come forth. It's going to yield a harvest. And God knew that too when he planted his son. His son. He knew there would be people who would believe in him. In Mark chapter 4, and I want to now go to verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the lake, and a very great crowd gathered about him so that he got into a ship in order to sit in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was at the lakeside on the shore. I'm reading in Amplified. And as he taught them many things in parables, illustrations of comparison put besides truth to explain them. And in his teaching, he said to them, give attention to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Another seed of the same kind fell on ground full of rocks, where it had not much soil. And as it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil, and then the sun came up and it was scorched, and because it had not taken root, it withered away. Other seed of the same kind fell among thorn plants, and the thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated it, and it yielded no grain. Verse 8, and other seed of the same kind fell into good, well-adapted soil and brought forth grain growing up and increasing and yielding up to 30 times as much and 60 times as much and even 100 times as much as had been sown. I mean, this is the way it works. You sow a seed, you expect to get more than just one seed back. That's the way sowing works. It always works that way. Now, we think of it as going out and witnessing to people. But I'm telling you, this sowing works in any way. In every way, it works. That's why when I get up in the mornings or before I go to bed at night, I sow the word into my spirit. I sow the word into me. I make deposits into my heart. My heart is good ground. And that's exactly what the ground is talking about here in this parable. It's the person's heart that is being sown into. And I don't care what nature of the seed, it's got its own DNA. That's why if I need encourage, I read encouraging seed. I plant encouraging seed into my heart because I know it's going to produce a harvest. And then I can share it with other people. You see, your faith can only grow to the level that you sow into your heart, whatever area of faith you need. Jesus said that, let's look at another verse that he said, something else he said. Matthew chapter 17 is a good one, just to give it an example about faith. And I'm not shifting gears, but I'm talking about, you need faith? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to sow the Word of the Word of God into your heart, because that's where faith comes. Okay, faith comes from the Word. You want a harvest of faith? You've got to sow a harvest of Word. You've got to sow a seed of Word in your heart, because that's where faith comes from. It comes from, you know, if I want potatoes, I sow potatoes. If you want faith, you better sow the Word. I need all the faith I can get for healing, for peace, for joy, for salvation, of whatever it is I need in this life. So I have got to know how to sow the Word for myself. Then I can effectively sow the Word to other people. Because I'm going to get a harvest. I'll guarantee you faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Matthew in chapter 17, this is also talking about the sower. 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Place to be in life. Place to be. God's word is so powerful that it absolutely will change your life. It is so powerful that if you can get a hold of this parable, you can understand the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom, every parable of knowing how to seed, sow seed. Now the problem is, if you go back to Mark chapter 4, he talks about the tares also. Isn't it where he talks about the tares? The devil also comes and sows into the earth. Right there with the other parables about sowing. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 anyway. And verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? And not to be set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. There is neither anything kept secret, but it shall be made, which shall come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed, he said unto them, take heed what you hear, for with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and with what you hear shall be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and to he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even taken that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn of the ear. It's like a mystery. How does this all work? But if you sow, the earth, it knows how to do its thing. The seed has its assignment. The earth has its assignment. Your heart also has an assignment. Do you know why a lot of people cannot get born again? Do you know why a lot of people have a hard time getting born again? Because of the rocks in their heart. Because of the stony places in their lives. Because their heart just got some thorns in it. It's got cares of this life. It's got the deceitfulness of riches. It's got all this stuff crowding out the seed of the Word. When you meet a person, and you're married to someone, or your family members, whoever it is you want to get the Word of God into them, it's just like if you gave me a piece of ground, Let's go back to that piece of ground, and I'm trying to explain this as clearly as I can. That piece of ground that my father gave me, cows had been living on that ground. Horses had been on that ground. You know what horses and cows do to ground after years and years and years? It's pretty tough. It's been walked on. It's been trampled on. It had some bad stuff in it. It had thistle and weeds and everything else in it. And I had to deal with that ground. It had rocks in it. I had to get a hoe, and I had to get it. First of all, I had to get somebody with a big old plow to come in there and plow it up. And then I had to take a wheelbarrow and pick up all the rocks out of it. And then I had to go get, after I got all the rocks out of the ground and all the clots of grass up and pull it all up and get all the break and take a shot. I took a Mattox, they call them grubbing hose, and I had to go out there and do physical labor. It was hard to get that ground ready to work on. I mean, ready to sow. I had to do some work on that ground. And if you have a person that just seems like doesn't ever want to hear the word, doesn't ever want to hear the word, and you're having a hard time getting the word, you're having a hard time believing the word, you're having a hard, or somebody else is having a hard time getting it, it's because you got some stuff that needs to be gotten out of the way so the seed of the word can go deep and get roots inside of you, and it can begin to produce. Because it's going to bring forth. It's got the assignment. It's in the earth. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground. He's talking about himself. He was sown. This is a parable. This is a mystery. So what I do when I meet a person that I want to see saved, and I know that they're not listening, they're not hearing, they're not getting it, and I can't seem to get the seed into the ground, and I wouldn't want to put it in the ground yet anyway, because it would not produce. What I do is I begin to pray, and I begin to fast, and I begin to pray, and I do it for myself. If I can't seem to get something, I will fast myself for me, for me. Let's do some fasting here, Teresa. Let's get some of me out of the way. Let's get some of those rocks out of the way, and get some of the cares of life out of my way, and start making room for the Word so it can take root, and it can bring forth a harvest. If I need a harvest of healing, then I've got to get some of me out of the way and get some root into the Word of harvest so the fruit can produce of healing. So I can produce some fruit. Jesus said, if you just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, that's not a very big seed, but it'll bring forth a harvest. And so I begin to deal with my heart, and I begin to pray. This is spiritual. I pray for that person's heart. I start praying that God, I start binding up things. I start pulling out rocks. I start pulling out weeds, and I start pulling out the clots of hard ground. And really and truly, when you start praying and you start interceding, it's like digging up fallow ground. And then you can sow that word to them. And through the Spirit of God, Paul sowed. Remember what he says? Paul sowed, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. The increase will always, always come because it's already, remember what he said? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will always be. It'll never cease. Never cease. I could share so many scriptures about the seed, how God's word is his seed, and how Jesus was the seed, and he's the seed of Abraham, and all the promises. I'm telling you what, if you start studying, let me just give you something that'll just really make you want to shout. Go to Genesis chapter. And it's so many. If you got a pen and paper, write these down. Look at Genesis 13. This is the DNA. This is your DNA. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is what the DNA of Jesus as blueprint. This is where he came from. He is the seed of Abraham. And this is what God said about Abraham. This is what you're supposed to be like. This is what you're supposed to look like. Apple trees look like apple trees. Horses don't look like cows. Horses look like horses. You're supposed to look like this. In Genesis, oh, I said 13. What's in 13 too? But let's go to Genesis 12. This is another God said. God said, Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing. Apple trees produce apples. supposed to produce blessing. That's our DNA. Jesus was a blessing. Everywhere he went, anybody sick, they got well. Anybody hurt, they got fixed. There was never anybody turned away. That's a blessing. He was the blessing in the earth. Then he says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. In thee. See, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, in me is life, and the life in me is the light of other people. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we're supposed to produce after our own kind. And then he said, shall all the families of the earth be blessed? Then you go to chapter 13, and you look at verse 15. All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. See, God sees things differently than we do. God sees seed time and harvest. Always sees seed time and harvest. He sees seed. If you can't get a hold of a seed, you probably get a weed. Isn't that why? If you get a seed, you get a weed. Because there's plenty of weeds. The devil is the one who came and sows the tares. Tares are weeds. He sows weeds in our lives. He sows weeds in the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Make you just want to know what the word is talking about when it comes to the seed. I'll get ready to close here. I've got a couple more scriptures. Very important. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John in the New Testament. I'm bringing it back to where we live. 1 John chapter 3. We got a little bit of a late start this morning, but 1 John chapter 3. Whoever is born of God, or brought forth, remember, birth and bringing forth is the same thing. Whoever is brought forth of God or born of God doth not commit sin. Why is that? For his seed, his DNA, his nature, his life that's in him, says, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's what this is talking about. In this seed time and harvest revelation, in this understanding, in this, the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. You see, the children of the devil has devil seed and nature and DNA. But God's children have God's life, nature, and DNA. And they produce after him. Apple seeds produce apples. God's word, the word that was made flesh, that was planted in me, that brought faith in me, it's going to bring forth after God. It's going to look like God. But the devil is going to look like the devil. If you've been planting the devil's seed in your heart, fear, unbelief, anger, jealousy, all those are of the devil. That's the nature of sin. That's the sin nature. But life nature produces after its own kind. It's fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, those things, there is no law against all those things. Isn't this been good today? This is deep. This really is a deep study. Life and death is in your tongue. But guess what? You speak with your tongue, words. You sow life or you sow death. Jesus said, out of the heart, the good man bringeth forth good treasures or good seed. In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You know where you heard this message from the beginning? God said, let there be light. That was the first thing God said, let there be light. And then the first thing he said about Jesus was, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and in him was life. Now, in me is life. That's my nature. That's the nature he planted in me. This was from the beginning. This is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You know, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Father, I just close with this today, that this word will never return void. Just like you promised, Lord, that the earth would remain seed time and harvest. And as the rains come down and water the earth, and you give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and you know, you will multiply our seed sown. And Lord, all the promises and all the provisions of the kingdom of heaven that are ours, that Father God, that we will learn how to take hold and operate in the things that you've already set forth. Because you said your word would not go forth void, but it would accomplish what you send it to do. Whatever you plant this word in the heart of men or women, it will not return void. And I thank you, God, this word is taking root right now, and it's not going to be dug up. It's not going to be looked at and examined and picked over, but it's going to do what it's supposed to do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.